Is there?
Is it? Are we live now?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Dan Huff, and we're here at Little River Baptist Church. As I indicated earlier in my prior video, our church services are canceled for the foreseeable future. We deal with trying to mitigate the spread of the virus that's going around. So I hope everybody's being safe and practicing good precautions. A famous preacher once said, hey, I need to ask you an important question. Do you stir your coffee with your left hand or your right hand? And he said, I don't stir it with either. I use a spoon. And so that's the way it is with viruses and things. Be sure you take safe practices and wash your hands and all that sort of thing. So I thought what I'd do today, it's a little bit unusual. I'm starting a few minutes early just to make sure the streaming works. And so there'll be people joining in. A number of you already viewed my earlier message regarding the church policy and what's happening. But just to go over a few prayer requests and some things we need to be cognizant of for those who are dealing with special needs, health needs in particular, those who are recovering from surgery. And I won't list names here for security purposes, but those you know who are at home ailing, and those who have just gone through surgeries or about to go through surgeries or going through chemotherapy, those who are elderly, we want to be especially in prayer for them during this time, that God will keep them safe, and that if there's any needs among that community, that we're cognizant of that and help as we can. We also want to be in prayer for our nation and our world, and all the things that are happening to help deal with the spread and to mitigate that as much as possible. Decisions are being rendered, things that are, you know, impacted is the long, long list of things, events that have been canceled, things that have happened that affects all of us in some way. And so we need to be in prayer for those things, and also for the medical community, who's very engaged right now in trying to find some solutions to this issue and come up with some ways of dealing with that. I don't think this is going to be a real short-term thing. I think we're going to be in a new normal for a while, so we need to be prepared and to make the adjustments necessary to get through. So let's have a word of prayer, and then I want to share with you the scripture that I have today and my sermonette that I'd like you to hear. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we give you thanks for this day. Thank you for your presence here among us. Thank you that you care for us even in the midst of such times. And yes, our world has seen these kind of things before. It's nothing new. There have been spread of disease, pandemics, and all kinds of things our world has faced. And we live in this moment now, and we ask that you'll help, most of all, calm people. Help them not to over-worry or overthink or over-plan or overreact to all that's going on around them. To help them know that you are the God who is in control, is in charge. And that, yes, we need to be vigilant. Yes, we need to do our part to help prevent the spread. Yes, we need to do the right things to help those who have the virus. We need to do what we can to be a good witness to people in our community and help where we can in safe ways. And so we pray that you'll be with each one. We ask that you'll be particularly with those who are elderly or have underlying illnesses, members of our congregation, family members that we know, people we know about in the community. And we pray that especially for that group and for those individuals, that you will keep them safe and that you will prevent them from further illness and that you will take care of them. And that, and those who are sick, God, who do have this virus, that you will give wisdom to the medical staff to know how to treat them and help them and help them to recover quickly. And we pray for the medical community and all that's taking place these recent weeks, not only in monitoring what's going on, but also attempting to come up with solutions, attempting to come up with ways to have a mitigation plan for those who contract this or preventing those from contracting this virus. So we ask for your presence, God, in a special way among that community. Give them the wisdom that comes from above. Help them to work together across international boundaries to help tackle this issue and many other issues. And God, we pray for our church. We pray that you will help us to come out of the other side of this stronger as we, when we're able to meet again. And even at, between now and then, God, that we don't stop becoming Christians. We don't stop praying. We don't stop our relationship with you because we can't meet in a certain building. We know that our relationship with you goes on. And so I pray for each one that's part of our congregation that they'll find ways of praying and reading your word and engaging with other Christians, whether it's through this particular medium or somewhere, some other means or other medium or other church that has online streaming services. We pray that you will encourage them and help them to walk with you and to know that they are going to be okay. We're going to get through this together. Thank you again for your presence here with us. We look to you through Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I want to share with you some thoughts here regarding this circumstance and that we're in. I think it's relevant. As it turns out, we've been in a passage in Matthew chapter 6 where we've been looking at this whole idea of Lent and what that is. You know, the praying, the fasting, and we'll look at giving at some point, what that means. But there's also an interesting passage here that's part of this whole context, the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gives, found in Matthew chapter 6. And I thought what I'd like to do today is share with you from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And it's all part of this whole set of things that Jesus is sharing that we now consider today part of the Lent practice. This should be part of that as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And so we see here the command that Jesus was giving. Not a suggestion, not an idea, not good advice, although it's all of these things too. But three times he says, do not worry. Verse 25, do not worry about your life. Verse 31, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow. And so I think he really does want us to understand this issue of worry, because we live today in very worrying times, not just with the virus, but there's a lot of uncertainty in our world in general about a good manner of things. So how do we live without worry? How can we not worry? It's very hard, isn't it? Can we just say, I'm not going to think about that, I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to worry, and then in the end we worry about our worry? So what are we to do? How can we not worry? Well, let's talk a little bit first about what worry is and what worry is not. There are things that we need to plan. There are reasonable preparations that we make in life. The Bible even talks about saving and giving our plans to God. We are to be people that are aware and concerned of the things going on around us, to be engaged in our world, to not be holed up in some cave and pretend that everything's going to be okay. So I'm not suggesting that that's what we should do. that we should just hold up and pretend that everything's going to be okay. But there is a kind of unhealthy worry that Jesus is pointing out here. And it has to do with what happens to us when we play the what-if game. A kind of unhealthy ruminating and dwelling on negative things. And it's especially true when we get a lot of negative input from media and other sources about all the terrible things happening around us. We tend to think that everything is that way when it really isn't. And so sometimes we have, you know, some personality issues and things or some temperaments that might lead us to be more prone to worry than other people have. And as we dwell on the negative things and continually do that, they kind of feed on themselves. And it creates in us a kind of anxiety. And as you can sense, there's a lot of anxiety around us, isn't there? Go to the grocery stores and look for toilet paper. You can't find it anywhere. Toilet paper anxiety. That's kind of what happens to us. We kind of go overboard and we try to do things that sometimes don't make any sense. And that's kind of a sign of unhealthy worry. Negative thoughts. Perhaps some of you are struggling with that now as we go through these times. What's going to happen? How many people are going to be affected by this particular ailment? What about myself and my family and my church and my place of work? What about my economics? Now, some of those things have been addressed by our federal government. They've recently passed legislation to help mitigate some of the impacts of these things, and we're grateful for that. However, there are unanswered questions that we have to live with. The reality is, there are always unanswered questions, for we do not know what tomorrow will bring. Now, we can either use as an opportunity to trust God, or we can use that as a way to kind of ruminate on all the things that might go wrong. And we are prone to do that without faith. We play the what-if game. What if I can't find food at the grocery store and it runs out at my house? What if I can't get my medicines? What if I can't find clean water? What if something happens and economically and I can't afford to pay my mortgage? What if I can't find toilet paper? What will I do? What will happen? Something bad will happen. And on, the list is endless about things that we can worry about. But there's another way that we can live, because that way only creates a general anxiety for us. And the reality is, as Christians, we can be those who are purveyors of peace, or we can purvey anxiety. We can join in with the throng of pagans, if you will, people who don't believe, and simply panic. And simply pass along our anxiety to others and all the things happening in the world. And yes, we do need to acknowledge that in our life. And we need to recognize when perhaps we're going too far beyond the pale. And Jesus wants us to take a different kind of turn. The other issue with anxiety, not only is it something that's not really of the Christian faith, it can lead to further issues. It becomes its own kind of complication. It can lead to bad health, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It can cause us to make bad decisions because we're anxious. When we're not thinking clearly, we make bad decisions. And so it really benefits us personally, and it really benefits us as a society to recognize when we have an unhealthy kind of worry, not talking about concern or reasonable preparation, but just an unhealthy kind of worry going beyond the pale, and allow us to kind of get our arms around that, to recognize that, because it really benefits us to do so. Worry can be a cycle that is useless and endless. Even as Jesus said, who can add time to their life by worrying? The reality is we probably take time away. Somebody has said this about worry. Worry worships the problem. Faith worships the God who is bigger than the problem. Do you see the difference? When we worry, we're so focused on the problem. We're so focused on what it's going to do to me. That's all we can see. And we lose faith. And our focus is in the wrong place. This happens to us. Many times I've shared with you from my motorcycling experiences that one of the basic rules is, if you want to avoid hitting the pothole, don't stare at it. If you stare at the pothole, you will surely hit it. Look for the smooth pavement on either side, and you will avoid hitting the pothole. And this principle applies as well to when we think about problems in our world. If we stare them down and worry ourselves to death, it's important to be aware that they're there, of course. We want to be informed people, but we should try to avoid worrying ourselves to death. Instead, we have an option, and Jesus is giving this option. It's really a command about what it means to be a Christian and live in this life. And he's not talking about needs that are excessive or beyond. He's talking about our basic needs. Look what he says. He talks about our food. He talks about our clothes. He talks about our security. He talks about the basic things that we need in life. I think that during Lent, there's one thing that you really should give up. We should give up worry. There are many things we should give up, but that's one we should easily give up. We should let that one go. And how do we do that? How do we repent of worry? How do we change our mind when our mind has been so focused on those things, when worrying patterns have been ingrained in our lives? How do we move away from that? Jesus says we need to recognize God. Again, if we focus on God instead of the problem, it'll change the way that we think. It'll allow us to be a different kind of person. It doesn't necessarily solve the problem, but it prevents us from exacerbating the problem and making it much worse. The first thing that Jesus says to help us be encouraged by faith, to be Christian believers in this world, is to recognize that God provides. Again, focused on God and not the problem. God provides for us. He's always provided for us, and he will always provide for us. He has, he is, and he will. God is. And God has created our world. And we see this in an example of two things. Jesus talks about the birds of the air. Now, I don't see too many birds having conferences about coronavirus and getting all worried and frazzled and squawking. Instead, I see birds that in the spring are singing outside. I go outside. I take a walk with my dog, Lucky. And we hear the birds singing in the spring. They are just trusting God to take care of them. God provides for them. He has, and he always will. The other example that Jesus gives from our text today is that of the lilies of the field. And if you go outside, you'll see that spring is budding. Already various plants are coming up. The flowers are blooming. And the lilies, they're not having conferences and worrying themselves to death about what they're going to do with coronavirus. Instead, they are just blooming and enjoying life because God has provided for them. And their lifespan is much shorter than ours. One way to kind of help us to understand that God provides is to simply take a walk outside. Hear the birds, see the lilies, experience the thing. Yes, practice social distancing, you know. But at the same time, you can still go outside and enjoy nature when the weather permits and when you're able to walk, to watch, to listen, to see, to smell, to experience that God is good. God provides. In the same way, it's a reminder as we are recreated, as we experience God's creation, if God can care for the creation, God can care for us. God provides for us. The second thing that Jesus says about a ways to help us change our mind about worry is to realize that God knows our needs. God knows our needs. Now, if I'm not a believer, if I'm someone who is absent of faith or hasn't trusted God, I don't have much trust that my needs are going to be taken care of. And so I'm prone to think I have to do it all myself, and when I can't do it myself, I'm prone to panic. And that's what we see in our world today, especially in Europe and other places, where things are spreading quickly. God knows our needs. And our needs are many. Our needs are great. Our needs are small. Our needs are spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, mental. The list goes on and on. But God knows the needs that we have. He knows our wants, too. Most of the time, he just knows our needs. And our needs are pretty basic, right? Food, water, protection, the things that we need, the air that we breathe, the basic needs for shelter, some sense of security. These are the things that he gives. Yet we do live in a fallen world, and sometimes those needs aren't always met in the way that we would want them to be. And this causes consternation. We have high expectations of all the things that we want to see done and practiced in our country. And yet God still provides for our basic needs. And this is enough. God knows these things. He wants us to be aware that he knows them. We tell them anyway. We ask God to protect us. We ask God to give us peace. We ask God to give us assurance. We ask God to give us eternal life in addition to the basic material needs that we have. When we realize that God is aware of our needs, we feel a little more sense of peace, don't we? It's not that he's misinformed or unable to provide for us in such times, but rather that he is a God who is sufficient to take care of us. He provides, he knows our needs. And then there's a third aspect that Jesus says in verses 33 through 34, and he prefaces with this wonderful verse that all of us should have memorized by heart. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you or given to you as well." In other words, our focus is not on the problem or the need or the want or the worry. If we seek God first, he takes care of us. He provides for us because our focus is in the right place. It's in a smooth place, not in the great big pothole in the middle of the road. God wants us to practice the seeking by learning to live in today. He says in verse 34, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." Worry, oftentimes, is about wondering what will happen in the future. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen next week? What will happen to my plans? What will happen to this? What will happen to that? And the outcomes are endless. But God says, if you live today, that's enough. He's not saying you shouldn't plan, or you shouldn't save, or you shouldn't be aware, or you shouldn't take precautions. What he's saying is, don't live outside of today. You can't live tomorrow until tomorrow becomes today. It's enough to deal with what you got in front of you today. You can't take on all eternity in one day. That's not possible. So live today. Solve the things that you can solve today. Pray about the things that you can pray today. Serve in the ways that you can serve today. And most of all, believe today while it is today, for tomorrow hasn't come. Take things one day at a time. That's the best advice we have. Announcements are going to change. Uncertainties will continue. Things are going to happen in our world. Even if there wasn't the coronavirus, it would be something else, wouldn't it? And so God asks us to just take one day at a time. Reasonable precautions, some planning, give those things to God, release the worry, release trying to control all the things that you have absolutely no control over, and just trust that God, who provides and knows our needs, can help me today. And that is enough. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 is a wonderful passage. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." See, it's not just enough to say, don't worry, or stop worrying. We need something to replace that worry, don't we? Or we just gravitate right back to it. If we're willing to pray, to center down each day, to give God our worries and anxieties and our fears, and by the way, he can take it. Just tell him what's on your heart. It's okay. It's not lack of faith to give these things to God. It's lack of faith to not tell him about them. But by telling him about them, you are then giving those things into his hand. You're taking them off your plate, and you're freeing yourself up. And God is such a good and gracious God that he takes all of our anxieties and our worries and our fears that we have inside of us that are rattling around, and he can replace that with peace. You can bring that peace into your life, into your heart. You can sense that when you pray and you give up these things. And that's the peace and the calm that each of us every day needs to come to in the world in which we live. And when we have that kind of peace, because we seek God by faith, we seek His kingdom, we become so much more available and useful to God in all the work that He wants to do in the world. Think about this. Can anxious people serve our world well? Or do calm people serve our world well? Can we be a good witness if we're all uptight and don't believe that God is going to help us and we're wringing our hands? Or are we a better witness when everyone else is losing their head, we're still keeping ours? I believe that that's the essence of the witness, isn't it? It says something about our faith when people are upset and worrying and we are calm. And they ask the question, what is the hope that lies within you? How can you be this way? And we can help calm other people's fears and show them to the Savior in such times. In many ways, this virus that's broken out is an opportunity for Christians to be a witness to those around them because we respond differently than they do. It allows us to share the peace of Christ with them. And again, we practice social distancing, no passing of the peace by hand, but passing of the peace through word, through encouragement, through other things that we can do, whether it's through electronic means or some other means that's safe. When you allow God to calm you, you are, by faith, closer to the kingdom. It helps us to grow in our faith when we learn to give up the things that worry us to God and give up the worry itself. It's a process. I know that some of you worry a lot. And I do too at times. And we have to find ways to release that. You know, we find ourselves worrying or find ourselves anxious. That should be our trigger to tell us we need to find some time to pray. We need to settle down. We need to center down. We need to give these things to God so that our worry doesn't cause other people more angst than they need. We really need to be strong in this way as Christians in this hour. We cannot allow ourselves to be pulled down by all the things that are happening. And so my challenge to you today is to give up worry for Lent, to give up those things which pull you down and create anxiety, and to live that life of faith that we know is capable in each one of you in order to serve our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to offer up a prayer now as we think about these things. It's an opportunity for you to also reflect on your own life and maybe some of the things that are worrying you, whether it's part of this current virus or some other concerns that you might have. It's a chance to respond in your relationship with God. I know I can't see you, I don't know, and perhaps some of you will want to get in touch with me later and share some of these things personally so I can pray with you, and I remain available to do that. But I think it's important that we recognize unhealthy worry and we allow prayer, faith, service, just walking through nature, giving up those things, finding ways to engage in our world in a different way that will allow us to be a blessing to those around us. Shall we pray together? Our Lord and our God, we thank you for Jesus' example. In the life that he lived, he had more cause to worry than anybody else. He had more things coming at him than I can imagine. People that wanted to see him dead, that were plotting against him. People that didn't understand situations. He was an itinerant, poor preacher whose needs were hand to mouth day by day. And he, above all others, understands our need to not worry. And I believe he lived that life, not only as your son, but also as one who lived among us. Thank you for his words. Thank you that they are relevant every day. Thank you that we don't have to live a lifestyle of worry and anxiety that causes us angst, that causes problems for ourselves and for others around us. But rather we can choose, with your help, O God, to release those things into your hands. And we pray if there's anyone who's watching this video today who has a need, we pray, O God, that they might do that. They might trust you. It's not a sin to ask you to forgive when we admit those things to you. And you take them freely from us, and you replace them with your peace. Grant peace to those who seek your face, who walk with you, Help them to be good servants, good Christians, good family members, good churchgoers, good neighbors, good workers in the times in which we live. We are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I ask you, if you have any needs, you may reach out to me or any of the deacons with those needs by email, by phone call. Be safe, be strong, be prayed up. Amen.